morning, witches. This is the Witch Daily Show with host Tanya Brown. We are coming to you from New Orleans, Louisiana, to offer you a bite-sized bit of magic. Our 20-minute-ish episodes are the perfect start to your day. So sit back, relax, and enjoy your pop of magic.
Good morning, witches. It is Monday, October 18th, 2021. I am Tanya, and this is the Witch Daily Show. So I recorded this entire episode only to realize there is a button on my computer that if you press it, it can't record things. And I guess it got hit at some point because I recorded. And yeah, so here we are again. I'm here twice. If you feel like you have deja vu, it's because you feel it in your soul that I was already here. But today's episode is brought to you by Teddy Learns About Witches. So let's get your day going with a little magic. Our quote of the day is, "Where there is no imagination, there is no horror," by Arthur Conan Doyle. So what are we drinking today? We are drinking Happy Halloween Black Tea from Plum Deluxe. This is a black tea with rooibos, apple pieces, and a mix of vanilla essences. So this is like a Halloween-themed tea, trying to kind of take on the idea of like Halloween candy, which is where you get kind of that vanilla and the apple. It's also, it seems like to be a really simple tea, black tea with rooibos, apple, and vanilla, something you can probably make at home. But if you don't want to make it at home, Plum Deluxe, I have a link in the podcast description. So I thought this would be a great time to talk about vanilla. So vanilla can be used magically. We see it in spells that have to do with love and like contentment. And a lot of people use it for baking. So I wanted to look up what is vanilla. So this comes to us from bonappetit.com. What is vanilla and why is it so expensive? And this was written by Sarah Jumpel. So Sarah writes, "I bake a lot, which means I'm constantly measuring out 1 teaspoon of vanilla extract, you name it, I bake it, I add vanilla to it. So chocolate chip cookies, yellow cakes, chocolate pudding, baked oatmeal are all bound by their common ingredient. Eggs, but you know, vanilla. Even though I make my way through jars of extract every year, it wasn't until recently that I paused to think, what is vanilla anyways? And if you too have ever wondered where vanilla comes from, hence vanilla beans aren't beans at all, or why some are extracts and some are imitators, we've got the answers. So let's dig in. Okay, so what is vanilla? Not a bean. A vanilla bean is actually the fruit of orchids. And vanilla extract is made by soaking said beans in an alcohol solution to extract it. So why are vanilla beans so pricey? So vanilla orchids only grow in a very small subsection of the world, with Madagascar producing a whopping 80%. Plus, every step of the labor-intensive harvesting process is done by hand. So for all these reasons, the demand greatly exceeds the supply. Hence why vanilla is standing as the world's second most expensive spice at $270 per pound, behind saffron. So, let's say you're like me and you use imitation because that's what's at our grocery store and it's affordable. And, you know, I'm when you're cooking for you and your friends for a wine night, like, you don't want to buy an expensive thing of vanilla just for whatever, right? But let's say you're like, you know what, I'm getting into baking. I want to make something special. Should I splurge and get like the good stuff? So here are some ways you can kind of decide if that's how you're feeling. So if vanilla is the sole flavor and those signature flecks will be in the spotlight, so like pudding, ice cream, creme brulee, you may want to buy the bean or the paste. But if vanilla is just a backdrop, so like spice cookies, chocolate cake, go with the extract. So you just have to think, is vanilla the big deal here, or is it just like a supporting, you know, character? So things to consider. Now, let's say you give in and you buy a vanilla bean. How do you store it? Learn from my mistake. I went out of my way and purchased a very expensive vanilla bean once. Why? I can't remember. And I stored it completely incorrectly. I didn't use it in time. So basically, wrap vanilla beans tightly in plastic wrap or reusable beeswax and then place in an airtight container in the fridge for up to 6 months. I didn't use it quick enough and I stored it in a cabinet and it just went bad and I like had so much regret. Now, there are some other options. You can always use vanilla bean paste, a combination of vanilla bean seeds, extract, sugar, and natural gum thickeners. It gives you those classic speckles for a fraction of the price as whole beans. You can also use vanilla powder. So this is dried vanilla beans ground into a fine powder. It's less versatile than extract or paste, but good for dry mixes like homemade pancake mix or dry rubs. And then kind of what I've always used, imitation vanilla extract. This is not a vanilla product. 99% of the world's vanilla extract is fake. It is usually derived from less than organic material like petroleum, and while it mimics vanilla's essence, it doesn't come close to capturing the complex floral and woodsy notes. So these are just things to consider and just some fun information about vanilla. If you want to learn more about vanilla, how to use it, how to pair it with chocolate, fun things like that, I have a link to this article in the podcast description. All right, so we have some news coming from Variety.com. Netflix, HBO Max swoop on streaming rights to History of the Occult. And this was written by Ana Marie de la Fuente. So in a series of key packs for Argentine political horror pick History of the Occult, Netflix has snatched up the streaming rights to the film for Spain and Latin America, which it plans to drop October 15th, while Warner Media's HBO Max has scooped up all Central European streaming rights, with Eurozoom taking all French. So, what's this movie about? And honestly, it sounds so good that I'm really hoping we get it here in the US. So I will keep a lookout. So basically, it's filmed in black and white and set in the 1980s. So it takes place during the last broadcast of the number one news show on TV, 60 Minutes Before Midnight, where a group of journalists are racing against time to convince the lead guest to lay bare a conspiracy theory that connects their crooked government to an actual coven. That just sounds really good. I love the idea of like racing against the clock. And I also love the high intensity and like heart beatingness of like it being live on TV, you know, quote unquote. So it sounds really good. And I'll keep you guys updated because, yeah. All right. I'm going to throw this over to our moon correspondent. And then after this break, we will talk more.
Hello to all of my astro friends. This is Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, coming at you with your daily moon mantra for Monday, October 18th. The waxing gibbous moon emerges from Pisces' waters and enters the heat of Aries by noon today. Here, the moon opposes Mercury retrograde and is on its way out of a conjunction to Neptune and into a trine to Venus. We should tread lightly today. The fiery moon opposing Mercury retrograde can cause emotions to bubble out of our mouths before we can stop to think about what we're saying. The morning will be especially tricky, as the conjunction to Neptune can easily take us off our track and into the weeds. Things may ease up a bit in the afternoon when the moon makes a trine to Venus, but we may have some cleaning up to do at that point. Venus in Sagittarius is also guilty of speaking her mind despite the consequences. So, in general, we should really watch what we say and who we're saying it to. Your daily moon mantra is, deeds can be undone, but words cannot be unsaid. This has been your daily moon mantra with Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, signing off and reminding you that you are in charge of your own destiny.
Thank you. Hey witches, I'm so excited to share with you a new book, Tutty Learns About Witches. This is a children's book for ages 4 to 8, for children to learn about witches in their lives. Tutty does not know everything about her dear Aunt Alice. Tutty is a child who visits her aunt only to discover that she is a witch. So here's the thing. You can get it on Amazon in paperback, or you can download it for free at tuttytheseries.com. It is free to anyone who wants to download it, and it is on Amazon if you want to get the paperback or Kindle version. So check it out. It's great for kids in our lives. It was written by myself and illustrated by Paisy Keo. All right, so we have a question from listener Alex. Alex writes, "Hi guys, I had an idea. I love all seasons and the change they bring, but in the late fall and winter months, I battle a bit of seasonal depression. Please note, I do have someone to talk to and a support system, but I wanted to strengthen these efforts, as you say, with a little magic. I'd like to find ways to take in some light and warmth from summer so I can use it in colder days when they seem the darkest. How can I save summer magic for the winter? Gold and oranges come to mind. I'd love to hear your thoughts." So, Alex, I kind of deal with something similar, but like the opposite. I tend to get a little depressed in the summer. It's really, really hot here. It makes kind of a lot of outdoor activities very uncomfortable. I live in a very old house. We don't have central AC, so it doesn't matter how hard I crank the window units. It's always uncomfortable. So I definitely have some understanding. So one thing I've done to bring fall into summer, and Kiki actually writes about this in the Busy Witches Planner, is the act of Hig. I've heard it pronounced a few different ways. And this is the idea of coziness and making your environment cozy. And so when I would feel a little out of sorts during the summer, I would bring in elements of like cozy fallness into my summer to just make me feel a little less overwhelmed by the heat. But we have some ideas for bringing some summer into winter. Casey says, "For me, sunstone always helps during meditation, but maybe try making typical summer recipes. Desserts with berries and honey come to mind." Randy says, "I made a wood catcher out of wood. This was my first time doing woodwork with stones that correspond with summer and a symbol that made me happy. I'm a summer baby and very outdoorsy, so I also had to find activities to enjoy outside when it wasn't too cold. But then it gets really hard as I also suffer with depression. I also go out on a lot of nature walks and picture in my mind what the world will look like when spring hits. Celebrating the wheel of the year helps as it gives you a more deeper and spiritual meaning as to why seasons happen and how to connect with the earth, moon, sun, weather during those times. This helps me, but it may also not work for everyone. I hope these suggestions help." Jimmy says, "I love making a floral tea to warm my soul. And also whenever it's cold and gray, I turn on all of my lamps. So I'm surrounded by warm amber lighting and it always picks up my mood." Renee says, "Several years ago, I did a spell that required me to light a candle without matches or a lighter. I made some char cloth, went outside at noon and used the cloth and the candle and a magnifying glass to focus the sun's rays onto the candle. I lit a few birthday candles from that candle to hold the energy so that I can continue to use the flame to light other candles so they all contain the power of the sun." Laura says, "Don't be afraid to wear bright colors. If it's gloomy outside, wearing a pop of color adds a little pep to my day." I think these are great suggestions. And if anyone has other suggestions, any post on Facebook we talk about on the podcast, I do tag. So you can check that out and find it. All right. So we have a witch win. This comes to us from listener Cassidy. Cassidy says, "Witch win, maybe. I picked up some coffee from Mickey D's this morning towards the end of listening to today's episode. I decided to stir some intention into my iced coffee with the straw. I focused on clockwise, stirring for love and positivity with the peaceful shift, and counterclockwise for banishing negativity and stressful calls. I'm a 911 dispatcher. It turned out to be the most peaceful shift I've had in a while, and a package I was anticipating got delivered today. Yay! I hope you all had a great day too. Also, I know I didn't make the coffee, but maybe you're not supposed to stir both directions? I don't know. But I'll take all the wins I can get. Yeah, you know what? It is a win. And I don't focus too much on the whole directional thing, because I don't really believe in it, but that's just me personally. So if it's just adding confusion, I wouldn't worry about it too much. All right, so we do have a little magic to share today, and we're doing good on time. So today's magic is all about enchanting your planner to ensure success. And this comes from the October 2021 issue of Which Way magazine and writer Amanda Wilson. Amanda writes, "With the warmth and daylight slipping away, as we descend into autumn, it is quite common to experience a dip in energy, focus, and productivity. It can be difficult to keep forward momentum in our career, home, life, and spiritual practices. It's helpful that so many planners are being made for adults now, and cannot be a total coincidence that most of the planners on the market are released in September. They come out just in time to help prevent or at least combat the struggle to keep a task once the energizing summer sun sets. I use my planners all year round long. I couldn't get by without one. A few years ago, I realized a very frustrating fact. From September until February, roughly, I was accomplishing fewer and fewer tasks I had recorded in my planner. I completed my to-do task list just about every day during the summer, but after September, my productivity plummeted. It was infuriating. My career was really starting to bloom, and I couldn't bear the thought of losing everything I had accomplished. I tried several different tactics, making shorter to-do lists, organizing them by priority, by project size, by simplicity. I tried all the tips and tricks that blogs and social media raved about, but nothing worked. After missing a deadline, or three, I decided it was time to bring out the big guns. I'd go full witch on this problem. I created this enchantment in October 2019, and since then I have been able to maintain a stable momentum throughout the year. The enchantment is complex and powerful, combining techniques that influence your subconscious and personal energies with the utilization of the magic of color and sacred geometry. It is carried out by a series of steps. It may try your patience, but do your best to complete each step with equal intensity, care, intent, and will. This is your life you're dealing with, so it's important to create and apply an effective tailor-made enchantment. So, mindful meditation, meeting my needs. The first step of this enchantment is to figure out what it is you'll need to successfully meet your obligations, achieve your goals, and keep all aspects of your life balanced. Once you learn what it is you need, write it down in your journal, grimoire, or book of shadows. This is the foundation of enchantment and will dictate the correspondences you employ that are working. Take a mindful approach to this task. In that, like, observe what you do and how you do it without judgment. It's like we all want to self-edit when we do these things, but try to accurately record them without, like, judging yourself. It's really difficult. If you need to be proactive or need to enhance your focus, then put those requirements down in your notes. For 3 days, preferably at the same time each day, set your timer for 10 or 20 minutes and meditate. Think about your work, your home, your day-to-day. Pay close attention to what was attributed towards your successes. If you fail to complete a task or your quality of work was subpar, do not let yourself worry about it. Think instead about what you could have done to help yourself succeed. I wrote down notes after each session, and on the third day after the final session, I wrote up a summary of what I learned. I then figured out how to encompass all the components required for my success. For me to succeed, I needed to maintain forward momentum,
motivation, determination, and focus. Balance, managing and prioritizing what I needed to prevent procrastination and overcome obstacles. So now you can write out your intent, combining your goal and the solution. Quote, I will successfully meet my goals, complete my tasks, and adhere to my schedule as it is recorded in my planner by overcoming obstacles and maintaining my forward momentum and staying balanced. So I know it already seems like a lot, right? But you're pinpointing the problem. And like with any kind of spell work or magic, you really can't effectively know what magic to do if you don't know what the problem is. So moving on. Sigils. Sigils are an excellent solution to anything behavior related because the magic influences your subconscious mind. There are a few different methods for making sigils. I am partial to the more artistic approach developed by Laura Tempest Zakroff. It consists of four steps. Declare your goal, brainstorm a list of what's needed to achieve the goal, design the sigil, apply. When you're brainstorming the list of what's needed, draw symbols you associate with each thing. These can be established signs or doodles you come up with. There is no wrong answer. We've already done step one, and we've started step two with our meditation sessions. List the things you need to succeed, the how aspects of your intention, and draw symbols you associate with each thing. When you finish attributing your symbols, create your design by putting the symbols together in a way that's appealing. So they don't need to retain their original shape either. If you want to use just the top half of one symbol and the bottom of another, go for it. The application of the sigil using Zakroff's method does not require a ritual to charge the sigil. You have already sufficiently charged it with the energy of your intention by taking time to create it. All you have to do now is draw the sigil on the inside cover of your planner or within the first few pages. The Busy Witches planner that we did, this is one of the first tasks we actually ask you to do. You want it to be somewhere you'll see it every day, but you don't want to have to intentionally look for it. It will flash your eyes before you open your planner, and that's all it takes to reach your subconscious. Next, you can also make a magical bookmark. To give your sigil an extra boost, you can make a bookmark for your planner and utilize magical correspondences of color, shape, and crystals. So I'm not going to get into that for the podcast because it can get a little tedious to listen to. But steps for that is also in the October 2021 issue of Witchway Magazine. All right, witches. I have been really on a like time efficiency kick, and I'm actually going to post a video in the podcast group of on more of this that I have enjoyed. And yeah. All right, witches, we are wrapping up this episode of the Witch Daily Show. I do want to give a shout out to listener Andrea Eastridge. Andrea, you innocent, fair fire dragon. I also want to give a shout out to listener Ashley Lan. Ashley, you avant-garde, dapper garden nymph. And then finally, a shout out to Laura J. Laura J, you innocent, rule-breaking moth. Thank you three so much for being Patreon supporters. I really, really appreciate you. Now, before we leave, we do have a card pull. Our card today is the Elders from the Seasons of the Witch, Samhain Oracle. All right. So the Elders are all about compassion and wisdom. Let's see if it relates to our episode. Elders are wise. They are the ones you've lived and experienced more ups and downs, twists and turns than the rest of us. Elders were the storytellers and keepers of knowledge. They were the ones we sought when in turmoil and who would hold us up as we wept for the unfairness life can bring. They had compassion for us, but also gave sage advice drawn from their decades of experience. Today, many elders are seen as a burden instead of a cherished loved one who deserved the right to be supported and cared for in their old age. Many elders have not been given the space to share wise words of their traditions because our modern world moves too fast for their slow wisdom. Yet, there are those among us, particularly witches, who still see the wisdom in their old ways. If you hold the Elders card, it is to remind you to have compassion for others and to never disregard someone's wisdom or experience. A Zen saying tells us, you should sit in meditation for 20 minutes a day unless you're too busy. Then you should sit for an hour.
This knowledge can be applied to wisdom as well. Often the thing you need most in life is moving too fast, is to slow down and see what you've been missing, or in this case, who you've been missing. This card is to call to meet with your elders and see if they have wisdom to share about your ancestors that can help you on your path. All right, witches, that's all I've got for you today. Don't forget, any books, decks, headlines, sources, anything else we've referenced today can be found in the podcast episode description. I hope you have a great day, and we will talk again tomorrow.
Witches, we hope that you have an amazing day filled with magic and inspiration. If you'd like to support the podcast, head on over to our Patreon. Need a support system? Find The Witch Daily Show on Facebook and our website, witchdailyshow.com.